Amen. Good morning, church. You guys feeling good this morning? I'm glad to be here. I'm glad that you found your way here. I don't know if for you if it was by faith or maybe by police escort you found your way to Ballroom A this morning, but you're here and we're here to worship God. I know Sunday morning Satan can try to stop us from coming to worship him, right? Things can be crazy if you've got young kids. Maybe you know how that could be. This morning I was helping put the kids in the car, and you know, Satan tried to get me to not preach the word this morning. I put my Bible and my sermon notes on the roof of my car. I put Tyler in the car and then myself in the car, and then I drove off down the street. And then in my rearview mirror, I saw my Bible and notes fly off of the roof of the car down the road, which I then turned around, went back and got. And fortunately, they're all holding up together. And, you know, if anything, I should have been afraid to see the concrete broken, because the word of God is like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces. Amen. But no, it was fine. But man, it is cool to be together here at William Patterson University. This is a really special time. You know, we've got a great ministry here at William Patterson. I remember for a while before we had club status and a room here, Matt and Mark would lead Bible talks to 25 or 30 people right outside these doors right here, crowded in this little section of the hallway here. That was cool. And now we've got a great Hope Worldwide club here that we do Bible talks through and service opportunities and really great stuff. I want to give it up for our Willie P students. Mark, who leads the group here, and Jessica Almiron. Can we Willie P people stand up? Willie P students. Awesome. Come on. Man, it's cool to be together here for that. You know, Desiree Douglas graduated from William Patterson, and a few years ago, Chelsea and Desiree were out walking around sharing their faith on campus and got a picture of them taken together. And that picture was up as a homepage for their website for a long time. And if you get a pamphlet for Willie P, this picture's still in there. And it says, "Your next friends for life." Which, you know, that's God right there just helping us be a light to the world. But man, it's cool to be here and to see what's going on. You know, this past Wednesday night, a young woman from Rutgers University was baptized into Christ. Her name is Mersh, and she's worshiping with the East Group tonight. Not tonight, this morning. And so it's cool to see God working through our campus ministry. So far this year in our New Jersey campus ministry here, we've seen 20 people baptized into Christ and become disciples, which is the most we've ever seen in a year so far. This is very exciting. You know, I just see that and I know, man, God is moving. God is bringing us victory. That's what I want to tell you this morning, is that God wants you to have a victorious life. That God wants victory in your life, for you to overcome challenges and hardship, for you to really overcome yourself in many ways, your character, and different things in your life. God wants you to have victory against the brokenness of this world we live in. Victory advancing his kingdom and changing people's lives from the power of Satan to the power of God. And so the title of my sermon this morning is Move On to Victory. And you can open up in your Bible to Exodus chapter 13. And that song we just sang, it talked about by faith the Israelites passed through the Red Sea. We're going to read about that this morning, about moving on to victory and how God did that through the Israelites in Exodus chapters 13 and 14. You know, I want to ask you, do you want to see God do something great through you? Yes. Like really, do you want that to happen? Or do you want to go week after week staying the same, not seeing progress or the power of God in your life? No, you don't want that. None of us want that. And what's great is God doesn't want that either. Amen. You know, this morning, God is ready to use you. Not later, but now. Amen. And not for something ordinary and lame, but something extraordinary God wants to use you for. And so this morning, I hope that despite whatever obstacles are holding you back, that you'll listen to God calling you not to sit still or stay stuck, but to move on to the victory. You know, in Exodus 13, we find that God has just saved Israel from 400 years of slavery in Egypt. And they're now traveling towards an incredible victory of entering the promised land. And on their way to that victory, they face obstacles that God calls them to move on from and then to move on to the victory. And so those are my two points this morning, is move on from the obstacles and move on to the victory. So let's get into Exodus 13, verse 17. We'll be jumping through this a little bit together. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Exodus 13, verse 17 and 18. It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Jump to verse 21. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. And so they leave Egypt and they're on their way to the promised land, and God is leading them. And then Pharaoh changes his mind. He had previously said, okay, go ahead, I'll let you go after all these plagues and different things that God had happened there. And then Pharaoh changes his mind. And let's go to chapter 14, verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water, so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. And so that's what Moses does. He raises his arms and the staff. He parts the Red Sea, and the Israelites go through on dry ground. If we could imagine that, it would be amazing. And the Egyptians go on right after them. And let's close out here in verse 29 to see what happens to the Israelites and the Egyptians. It says, but the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. Man, isn't this an inspiring story? Man, what an amazing story of God being with his people. And despite serious obstacles, God bringing about a great victory for them. You know what I hope you could grab hold of this morning is that this is not just the Israelites' story, but this is our story. This is your story in a very real and cool way. You know, the Israelites were in slavery to Egypt for 400 years. They were in slavery to Egypt. And what were we in slavery to? We've been in slavery to sin, the Bible says. And for Israelites to get out of their slavery in Egypt, an unblemished lamb had to be killed and its blood had to be wiped on their doorposts. For us to escape our slavery to sin, an unblemished lamb, Jesus, had to be killed. And his blood was wiped on the wood of the cross. And then the Israelites had to flee from what they were in slavery to. They had to run away from the Egyptians. And similarly, we have to flee from our sin. We have to repent. We have to turn away from our sin and run away from the sin that we were in slavery to. But it still wasn't dealt with. They passed through the water, and it was in the water that God finally put to death the Egyptians that they were in slavery to. And just like us, after we repent, we go down into the water of baptism, and God finally destroys the sin in our life that we were in slavery to. This is their story, but this is also our story. You know, God saved them, and God has also saved us, and God wants to use them, and similarly, God wants to use us and wants to use you as well. God saved you and wants to use you. He wants to use you to build his kingdom, to live with victory, to go and make disciples. God is calling you to move on from the obstacles and to move on to the victory. So let's talk about moving on from the obstacles a little bit. You know, the Israelites had a victory in mind. They were going, they're like, all right, we're going to get to this promised land. So they had a victory in mind, but it wasn't going to be that easy. They also had an elite, wealthy, and powerful army coming after them. And then ahead of them, in front of them, was this huge Red Sea. So if they go forward, they're going into the water. And if they go back, they're facing an army. And so you can imagine a very real game of would you rather breaks out amongst the Israelites. All right, man, would you rather go forward and drown or go back and be decapitated? This was a scary situation before them and behind them. They thought the Israelites had, they thought the Egyptians had the upper hand, but they were soon to find out that their God was greater than the obstacles. You know, I can remember a particularly stupid night when I was around 13 or so. And I grew up in a farm town and we got creative with how to have fun. And so some friends of mine, like four or five of us, we went out one night and we're walking down some of these back roads out in Warren County, New Jersey. And we got this really stupid idea to start collecting garbage cans from the end of people's driveways. And so we got these full garbage cans and we're dragging one in each hand together until we all had one. And then we decided, let's set up an obstacle in the middle of the road for the next car or truck to come through. And so we lined up these garbage cans around a turn and we went and hid in the woods about 10 feet out from the road. And we laid there on the ground waiting in expectation. Soon enough, we hear a truck coming and we're like, oh, this is going to be so cool. And the truck comes and just plows through the garbage cans, just destroys them. We're like, oh, that was crazy. And then he slammed on his brakes. And then he got out of the car. And then he started yelling and cursing. Who's out there? Who did this? And all of a sudden, we went from this is fun to full-blown panic. This guy's coming after us. We all got up and started running as fast as we could into the woods. We're running up this hill. We're tripping. It's nighttime, falling over stumps. Finally, we find this old dead tree to lay behind. My cell phone starts ringing like crazy. They're like, dude, shut it off. And this guy's walking into the woods after us, yelling, looking for us. And we're just paranoid, sweating, scared to death. Finally, the guy gives up, goes back to his truck, and drives off. Thankfully, he was okay, and needless to say, we never did anything like that again. And for anyone sitting out there, especially younger people, don't try that at home. Don't ever do something like that. It was stupid. You know, we went out there, and we set up this obstacle thinking that we had the upper hand, and then this truck came and plowed through it and sent us running. We went from being on the attack to being on the defense. In the same way, you might have obstacles set up against you, and it might look like, oh, this is going to stop them. This is going to be good. But with God on your side, he could send those obstacles running and completely turn it around on its own head. Yeah. You know, whatever you see in the way of you and some victory in your life, with God, it could be demolished, flipped upside down, and be the one sent running and you the one on the victory side instead. God can deal with your obstacles like they are nothing. Just like a big pickup truck through garbage cans. You know, this morning, God is calling you to move on from whatever is holding you back or keeping you stuck. You know, the Israelites had obstacles behind them. You know, you might have obstacles behind you. You know, things from your past. You might have past mistakes or failure, and that might be the obstacle that's ahead of you, is things from your past, right? Maybe mistakes that you made or times that you've tried before to do something and then it didn't go so well. That might be what's stopping you. Sometimes obstacles behind us could be shame or guilt. There's something that we did or something that happened to us and we let that thing control our future. We let that shame or that guilt keep us from trying to go on to victory. Maybe it's something from your past that happened to you, or maybe it's something that people have said to you or someone has said to you, or a past hurt. I know that there could be obstacles behind us that keep us from moving on to the victory. The Israelites had the Egyptian army behind them. It was their past. But what I love at the end of this passage is that it said, Israel looked back and saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And so whatever obstacles are behind you that are holding you back, God has dealt with them. God can deal with them. God has dealt with your past. He's dealt with your mistakes, your guilt, your failures. We've got to learn from it. We've got to be humbled by some of those things, but we don't need to be controlled by it. We don't need to let the obstacles from behind us keep us from moving on to victory. So maybe there's obstacles behind you. Maybe there's obstacles before you. Sometimes ahead of us, there could be maybe fear or doubt that we want to move on to some victory, but we've got some doubt there. I don't know if this can really happen. Or I believe it could happen, but I'm just afraid to try. I'm afraid to put myself out there. I'm afraid to take that step of faith. Fear can be ahead of us. Maybe the effort that it's going to take could be the obstacle ahead of you. Man, I want to do this, but it's going to be hard work. Yeah. This isn't going to be easy. You know, sometimes the obstacle before us can be future fantasies, where we're thinking, I want to get around to this one day, but I'll wait until things get a little bit easier in this part of my life. Or I'll wait until maybe I'm in a better place. Or I'll wait until I've got someone to help me. And we could just have these situational obstacles where we want to move on to a victory, but we're waiting for the situation to be perfect or for things to be different. And it's just this future fantasy. And sometimes it's just not gonna work out that way. And we need to deal with the obstacles before us. You know, it said in what I read, the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground. And so I want to encourage you that whatever obstacles lie before you, that God can part them in two and make a way through for you. God can, whatever obstacles are ahead of you, if you go with God and you let God go before you, He can deal with it. He's greater than the sea. He's greater than the obstacles before you. Amen. You know, and lastly, and maybe most difficultly, there could be obstacles within you. And there could be obstacles within us. The Israelites said, it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. They had some inner conflict going on and some worldly thinking. Things got tough and they said, maybe it'd be easier if we just stayed back there. And they had this inner conflict and battle going on, and it was an obstacle within them that was keeping them from moving on to the victory. And so maybe you have obstacles within you this morning. Maybe it's distraction. Where when you're asked about it, what's something you want to see God do in your life, a victory, you think of it, but then as soon as the week starts back up again, you're distracted by a bunch of other things and you forget about it. And maybe we need to deal with distraction and get more focused. Maybe it's sin that's in your life. And we know where does sin come from? It comes from the heart, right? In Mark chapter 7, and so inside of us there might be cherished sin, unrepented sin, sin that we've been dealing with that we finally just need to get rid of. And get rid of sin in our life that's holding us back. Maybe it's criticalness. And criticalness in us can hold us back as well, right? I want you to think, are you more focused on critical thoughts or biblical thoughts? When it comes to the mission, to the church, to discipleship, are you more focused on critical thoughts or biblical thoughts? You know, another obstacle within us could be misplaced passion. That, yeah, in the back of our minds, there's some things we want to do for God, but we're honestly just a lot more excited about some other things. Right. You know, what excites you most when you get up in the morning? You know, as you head into your day, what are you most excited about? Are you excited about checking your news feed or getting up and feeding on the Word of God? Well. You know, do you get more excited about good news on the stock market or sharing the gospel with someone and investing in treasure in heaven? You know, really, though, when you think about what do you get most excited about, it should be the things of God, the things of heaven. You know, I really believe that those who are critical, comfortable, complacent, cowardly, complainers, or couch potatoes won't do great things for God. But those who keep their faith moving do see great things for God happen in their life. And we could just get too caught up in things of this world. We've got to have our hearts more focused on things of heaven. Really believing that you were made for more and that God is trying to bring you somewhere great and is with you to do something great with your life, something better. And so there's obstacles before you, maybe behind you, maybe within you. But what we could see from this passage is that's true, but what's also true is that there's a God that's before you, behind you, and within you as well. And that God is greater than the obstacles. God goes before you. He went before them as a cloud by day and as a fire by night. And so too, God goes before you, and from God you have protection. You have strength, you have energy, you have power, you have guidance, you have security. God goes before you. Looking at God for them meant looking up and looking ahead as a cloud and at the fire. And so we could look ahead at God and look up and look ahead. And also God gets behind you. In verse 19 that I didn't read, it said, the pillar of cloud also, when they decided to move forward, said the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and stood behind them. And so when they decided to faithfully move on, God got behind them. And so when you move on faithfully, God gets behind you. God's got your back. God will catch you, motivate you, protect you. God is behind you. And as a disciple, we know Jesus' promise is true, that God is within us as well. That I am with you always. That God is with us, within us. God goes before you, behind you, and God is within you to bring you victory. And so this morning, what obstacle is it time for you to move on from? Let's focus on it. Let's talk to someone about it, and let's move on from that obstacle and let God deal with it. Amen?
Amen.
So let's move on from the obstacles, and then secondly and lastly, move on to the victory. You know, once God removes the obstacles, it's time to intentionally, faithfully, proactively move on to the victory. It's not part the sea, deal with the Egyptians, and then just stand here and do nothing. Right? God deals with the obstacles, and then he says, all right, let's go. Let's go do something great together. You know, the Bible doesn't say sit with the Spirit. It says keep in step with the Spirit. Right? So God's moving, and God wants us to keep in step with him, to move with him. In verse 10, it says they cry out to God. So the Israelites are praying. They're crying out to God. And then in verse 14, they're told something that sounds great, and a lot of us amen with this. It says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Sounds good, but actually in this case, only half of that was true. The Lord will fight for you, but don't be still. In verse 15, God says, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. They were sitting still praying, which it's good they were praying. And then they're told, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. But God says, why are you crying out to me? Move on. He says, raise your staff, stretch out your hand so that the Israelites can go. Don't just sit there. Tell, move, raise, stretch. Go. These are all actions. God's saying, be bold and take action because I will fight for you, because I am with you. And so God's calling you to move on to victory. You know, victory is not just going to magically fall into our lap. Right? God is not a genie who we make wishes to or a birthday candle, and then we just carry on as usual and expect it to come true. Right? Real discipleship, real prayer is asking a great and powerful God to fight with you as you go. Yeah. Right? That God is going to be with you, and you're praying and relying on him, but then you're going forward believing, all right, God's with me and going to fight for me and help me. Yeah. The Israelites wanted victory, but they didn't want to fight for it. They wanted to get to the promised land, but they didn't want to fight for it. Their plan was to pray, do nothing, and then expect something. In chapter 13, verse 18, it said that they left Egypt armed for battle. But it also said that God couldn't take them the shorter way, because it said, if I do, then they're going to have to fight, and I know that they'll go back to Egypt if I make them go to battle. So they march out armed for battle, but they're not actually willing to fight. So they look the part, they dress the part, but they're not willing to play the part. All talk, no walk. And I think sometimes we could do the same thing. Right, as disciples, we can want character change, victory over a sin, to persevere through something, to help someone become a disciple, to see some victory in our life. But do we say it? Maybe even pray it, but then not act like it. You know, we can want victory without being vigorous. Glory without the guts, blessings without the battle, celebration without the sweat. But it doesn't work that way. Now we got to see in our lives that God's looking for prayer and faith and action and him fighting for us to all work together. Amen. And so there's some different ways in our life that maybe we could see vision for a victory, but then not the same level of fight and effort and faith and action really going into seeing God work in that part of our life. You know, sometimes I think there could be like just a weak effort when facing temptation or hardship. Right? I've seen it in myself, and I think a lot of us maybe can, that we're going through a difficult time, or maybe there's a serious hardship or challenge, or maybe it's a sin we're really tempted with or really battling with. And I think sometimes maybe we could pray about it for about 10 seconds in the morning. We casually mention it to someone, and then we say, man, I'm really fighting this. I'm really working on it. When we look at Jesus and when he went to really fight, it meant praying for 3 hours in the Garden of Gethsemane, taking three close brothers with him and asking them to keep watch while he prays and to help him. You know, when we're going through hardship or facing temptation, we got to follow Jesus's example. If we haven't at least prayed for a few hours about it or pulled in a few people to help us with it, then we haven't done enough. We've got to have faith, but we've got to really fight the way that we see Jesus fight. You know, maybe you're praying for relationships and that you want to be closer to people, but then you don't show up for midweek. Or you don't call people when you're feeling lonely. You wait for someone else to call you. Maybe you're praying for growth. Man, I want to grow. I want to do better spiritually, but then not spending time with God every morning. Not spending time in the Word or in prayer. Or maybe you're not wanting people to get in your life and to help you grow and to talk to you about it. You know, it takes faith to go after discipling. It takes faith to disciple someone and to get help from each other. We need to put that faith into action if we want to grow. Maybe you want to help someone else become a disciple, but then the week goes by and there's no one that you've shared your faith with. Right? Or you did, but then you've never gone back and followed up with them. We've got to pray for this, but then put it into action as well. I don't know what it is for you, but I know biblically we need to ask and act. We ask God to be with us, and then we act like God is with us, right? James chapter 2 talks all about faith and deeds. And so we have faith. God is going to fight for me. God can do this. And then we go forward really with expectation. All right, now God is going to work through me and through my life. When you have faith and deeds together, now you're really ready to see God's power at work in your life. And in no way, shape, or form would I ever downplay the role of prayer. Prayer is vital. Right? Jesus even says, this kind can only come out through prayer about the one demon-possessed boy. And so sometimes the act we need to do is to pray and pray fervently and faithfully. We need to pray bold prayers. We need to be men and women of prayer. That's where the battle begins, is when we get on our knees and pray. But then after we pray, we've got to move on faithfully and acting like, okay, now God is with me, answering and fighting for me. Amen? God's looking for us to have not a talk the talk, but a walk the walk discipleship. Amen. And I think God's really looking to see, as he looks at us, he's looking to see, man, who's really in the fight? He's looking for you to endure hardship, for you to dig into the Word of God, to wrestle in prayer, to be on the mission, to love others as yourself, to live with integrity. And so let's live a life that honors God. Amen. You know, I think our goal every day should be, I'm going to get up and today I'm going to be the best disciple of Jesus I can be. That we get up and we're just trying every day, I want to be the best disciple of Jesus that I can be. On, and if we do that, we're going to get down and pray. But then we're going to get up and go act like a God is going before us, behind us, and within us. Mm-hmm. You know, in my life, I've seen God show me over and over again that when I faithfully act despite an obstacle, he can always work somehow. You know, and honestly, I think the bigger the obstacle and the more we go for it anyway, that God loves to work through those situations. I think he gets a kick out of it, really. And I love to see it over and over again. You know, it builds my faith. It keeps my faith alive and growing, and it keeps my faith exciting. You know, as I go through, it'll be 9 years as a disciple this December. And each year as I see that challenge of continuing to act faithfully, putting myself out there and praying things, but then acting accordingly. You know, it's exciting to see God do those things. One of my favorite things is to look at my answered prayer journal. And I started this a couple years ago. I wish I started it 9 years ago, but just this notebook I have in my room of just whenever God answers a prayer, writing the date and the answered prayer. And I've got a few pages now, and it's so inspiring to go through that and see, man, this was stuff I prayed for, and then God just made it happen as I faithfully went forward and acted. You know, one of my prayers since becoming a disciple is for my family to become Christians. Right? And it's so cool as I'm having conversations and praying for them. My youngest brother, John, is a freshman at County College of Morris right now, which he's 19 going to CCM. I was 19 going to CCM when I became a disciple. And so I've got just this faith for him right now. Man, he's going to become a Christian while he's 19 and going to CCM. And so he's been going to Bible Talk every week. We've got Josh Silva, Josh DeMatulak, and some other disciples leading the CCM Bible Talk. And so at the beginning of the semester, I prayed for him, and then I said, John, there's this Bible Talk. I want you to go to it if you're free. And so he's been going every week. And so the brothers asked him, would you want to study the Bible early on? And he said, honestly, I do eventually, but I want to wait until I'm ready to really be serious about it and be able to really give the time that it deserves to it, which is a mature answer. And so, amen. And so he's been going to Bible Talk most weeks. And last Monday, I was home visiting my family and I was talking to my brother and he said, soccer's over. I have a lot more free time. And so I'm a lot more free to come out to stuff or to do things. And I would be more willing to do that. I said, hey, why don't this Wednesday a Bible Talk, you... And there was this moment here where I felt a little bit nervous, to be honest. All right. And I said, all right, cool. Like I wanted to, like tempted to just be like, sweet, man, I'll let you know. Or sounds good. Keep going to Bible Talk. But I was like, man, I should encourage him to ask the guys to study the Bible again, right? And so I told him to do that. I said, why not this Wednesday you tell Josh, hey, I've got a lot more free time now. And if you want to do this, ask him to study the Bible with you. He said, okay, that sounds like a good idea. And so that Wednesday, he told Josh that. And then this last Wednesday, they had their first Bible study together. And so now my brother John is studying the Bible, which is very exciting. And so it's just praying, and then it's acting faithfully. You know, one of the brothers in our ministry who goes to William Patterson that has been asking and acting faithfully is Vinny DeLuca. Vinny goes here to William Patterson, and I'm going to have him come up for just a few minutes and close out our lesson here, sharing about how he's seen God work as he's acted faithfully in his life. Come on up, Vinny.
Hello, guys. Thanks for having me. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Vinny. Again, I go here to William Patterson University. Let's go. And I was made a disciple here at William Patterson too, almost 2 years ago in December also. So me and Rob were in December. There you go. But yeah, and you know, it's been an awesome almost 2 years as a disciple too. You know, it's just been incredibly faith building, but you know, like we've been talking about, life isn't so simple that it's just, you know, it's just great all the time. You know, there are obstacles and difficulties that you go through. So, you know, when I first studied the Bible, so Mark invited me out. He was just out sharing his faith on campus, and he told me they have this Bible Talk thing that they have every week. So he invited me out to that, and I started going out to that. I started studying, and, you know, it was just, you know, everyone who's ever studied the Bible know it's just like the most faith-building thing you can do, really. It's just like that's how it all starts. But it's also probably the most difficult time I'd ever gone through, really, just spiritually. You know, the things we looked at discipleship, and that was probably one of the hardest times in my life, is just realizing where I was. You know, you look biblically, and I saw what a disciple was, and I saw that what I was, and those were two just completely different things. You know, like they talk about, it was just light and dark, just complete opposites. And, you know, the moment I realized that also, you know, and realized what it meant to be a disciple and how you got saved and all that stuff, you know, I also realized that meant my family wasn't saved, my friends weren't saved. Pretty much everybody I'd met up till now, minus Mark and David Tabbing, who was helping him study with me, were just not Christians, even though they said they were, and that they were just being deceived into that. And, you know, that was like the hardest moment of my life up till now, I think, because everything that I knew just got flipped upside down, literally. So, but, you know, in that moment, I was confronted with two choices, and that was, you know, A, I could just kind of ignore everything that God had showed me through the Word and just, you know, turn to what my itching ears wanted to hear and just keep living the way I was, or I could listen to what he revealed to me and do what he told me to do in the Bible. So, and you know, that sounds like an easy choice on paper, but in practice, it's a lot more difficult than that. Amen. So, because like I had a lot of ties to my old church too. You know, my dad leads the worship team there. He's one of the founders of the church. My mom leads the children's ministry in the church, and I myself was one of the leaders in our youth group there. And I had been there even longer than our actual youth pastor at the time. So it wasn't just like so easy that I could just pick everything up and leave. But I knew deep down what I needed to do and what God wanted me to do. And so, like I said, as you can probably tell from me standing up here too, December 16th, I decided to make Jesus Lord and I got baptized. So, yeah. But the story doesn't end there either. 1 Timothy 4:16, you all know it, says, "Watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers." All right. And God has been faithful to that, amen? Because, despite the fact that my parents are always, they're leading the church where they're at, they have to be there every Sunday, I've just been, it's hard to invite them out to stuff, but last week I invited them out and they actually decided to come. So they, he let somebody else take care of service for the day, and they had a great time too. And not only that, but they had a great time. They plan on coming again, and they plan on taking my brothers with them the next time they come too, when they're back from college themselves. So, and that was just an incredible show of God just moving the obstacles out of the way. Even that he could just get off from Sunday one day. another just really probably the most faith-building thing so far is that, when I heard about this stuff, I wanted to share it with, my friends and the people at my old church where I came from. So, all of my best friends go there. So, and I really wanted to invite them out. But, there was always that, it took a while because there was always that fear of what it would do to our relationship. Because I knew how hard this was for me, about how hard it would be. What if they see this, but they don't want to. They choose not to believe this and to keep moving on. What will that do to our relationship and that kind of thing? So I decided to invite them out anyway. I started inviting a couple, two of my best friends out to stuff. And, eventually they both started coming out. They started studying. And eventually they both got baptized and became disciples too. And that's Josh Silva and Dima Tulak. And those are the same guys who started the CCM Bible Talk over in Morris. And then not only that, but they went out and they shared with a friend from our old youth group too. And, recently he studied out the Bible, and just about 2 weeks ago, our friend Hamil decided that, he wanted to do this too. And then he got baptized and he became a disciple as well. So, I've seen firsthand just, God will move these obstacles out of the way. We just have to, move forward. And God, God wanted to use me to do all this stuff. And I was, kind of the starting point, but he also, that's the same for all of us in here. Everyone in here could have, God wants you to do, far more than even like any of that stuff. And, but we just need to have faith in that and to take that faithful step forward and let him do his thing. Amen. Yeah. So I'll end at that. So thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Vinny. It's exciting stuff, isn't it? God is with you. And so I want you to be excited about that and think about that. What is that going to mean for your life, and what victories is that going to bring? And so let's leave here this morning. Think about what is a victory that I'd like to see for God through me and through my life? And then figure out, what's the obstacle that's going to keep that from happening, and faithfully deal with that. Get help with that if you need it. But let's move on from whatever that obstacle is. And then figure out now what is the prayer and then the action that I could start taking to provide the opportunity for God to lead me closer to this victory that I want to see. So thinking about what's the victory, what's the obstacle, and then what's the action going to be to move closer to that victory. God is with us. And just like we've seen through Vinny, we could see through all of us, God do some amazing things this week, the rest of this year, next year, as we keep going and moving on from the obstacles and move on to the victory. Amen. Thanks, guys.